ESPN Radio, and more. 1600 AM, 102.3, 106.3 FM, and the all-new Jim OT, featuring SB Nation Radio programming, 107.5 FM. Check it out if you haven't already done so. Great stuff. Listen to Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault earlier today. Great information about Fury Wilder 2 coming up this weekend. That's the subject of our poll question. We'll get to that momentarily. We got a lot to get to over the next 2 hours. Thomas Bendit, speaking of SB Nation, the publisher of the BT Powerhouse website, coming up with us in 25 minutes. We'll take a look around the rest of the Big Ten after Iowa's win over Ohio State last night. And then a great big hour on the horizon tonight. Connor McCaffrey joins the program along with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. So stick around inside the 5 o'clock hour for some great insight from Connor, who is continuing to juggle playing both baseball and basketball for the Hawkeyes. All that, and right here in the first 60 minutes of the program, he grabbed me, made physical contact with me as I was making my way into the studio today. Buttons, I'm talking to HR about that, by the way. You might get written up for that. He said we're giving them away in the first hour of the program tonight, our final pair of tickets, Alex, to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Def Leppard and ZZ Top, both coming to the Iowa Event Center, Wells Fargo Arena, October 10th. Tickets went on sale to the public this morning at 10 o'clock. You can still, to my knowledge, get your hands on them. But even if you can't, you can win them with us here inside the 4 o'clock hour. Be listening for your chance to call. 319-366-1600, by the way, is the number to call. We anticipate hearing from you today, either on the phone lines or the First Federal Credit Union text line. The number again, 366-1600. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren in Iowa City earlier today. We'll get to some of his comments here coming up momentarily. You can stick a fork in you and I, because the Panthers are, for all intents and purposes, done unless they win the MVC tournament in St. Louis. And last night, it was the rise of the role players in Iowa City.
Where did that come from?
That was great to see. If you're a Hawkeye fan and maybe you've been on the fence about this team, not quite buying in, you're waiting for that so-called February fade, the Fran fade to come along.
I don't think that's coming.
I don't think it is either, and I think last night was proof positive why. Because when you've got the role players, when you've got guys like Bakari Evelyn and Cordell Pemsel doing what they're doing last night, how great was it to see Cordell Pemsel last night? I'm back. And he was. Look, you get the role players stepping up and playing like that, that's an easy Sweet 16 team. When things are clicking like that, that game was almost out of hand before I could get home and turn it on last night. And Ohio State was able to make a run in the second half and make it cosmetic, but that game was not as close, in my opinion, as the final score indicated it was.
No, they smoked Ohio State. And last night they looked like an elite offensive basketball team, and they are. I sort of get a little bit, I chuckle a little bit when I hear people night in and night out talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes and say, you know, that was a gritty performance. That was a gritty performance. They're gritty. No, they're really good offensively.
You got to stop talking to John Bonenkamp. That's his favorite word.
No,
gritty.
I'm not saying that it's not true. They have some grit to them. There's no question about it. They're a good offensive team. And it certainly helps when you have a guy that's going to score 25 points a night in Luka Garza. But I wonder, going into last night, where are the other points going to come from? And nowhere in my wildest thoughts about what was going to happen last night did I think that Ryan Kreener and Bakari Evelyn would both score in double figures. Maybe Ryan Kreener, but certainly not Bakari Evelyn. And then Cordell Pemsel and Joe Toussaint would also have the games that they did. So they needed some other guys to step up, and four guys who really hadn't shown much scoring ability all season long. Three, I should say, because Kreener has at times. Three guys who hadn't shown any offensive scoring prowess all season long stepped up in a huge way last night.
And now you have the possibility of all momentum being halted, because Tuesday the Hawkeyes have to head to East Lansing to take on Michigan State in the Breslin Center. And I don't, It's probably not politically correct. I described this several weeks ago to somebody on Twitter as the Breslin Center being an Indian burial ground for Iowa basketball, and they're certainly not the only Big Ten basketball program that has struggled there. I think they've only won maybe five games in that building over the last 30-plus years. It is a tough place to go and play. We'll get Thomas Bendit's thoughts on Michigan State coming up in about 20 minutes at the bottom of the hour. Again, Thomas joining. It's been a while since we've had him on the program. Want to get his thoughts on John Beilein as well, because his primary area of coverage is the University of Michigan, and John Beilein officially out after a disastrous tenure with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we'll get his thoughts as to how that took place. We mentioned you and I is essentially done. Panthers,
they have to win the MVC tournament.
They have to win the tournament now. The Missouri Valley is a one-bid league. The only hope of it not being a one-bid league was you and I continuing to build up a tremendous resume and not losing any games. And then if they went to Arch Madness and wound up losing in the semifinals or the finals, maybe they get in as an at-large. The ship has sailed at this point, and it's unfortunate because I continue to say that this team looks to me like an NCAA tournament team, but circumstances, they're in the MVC, and that is a one-bid league. So now if you're Ben Jacobson and the Panthers, you still got to play the games in front of you on the schedule, but man, do you have to go to St. Louis and not slip up.
You just have to win the MVC tournament.
It's unfortunate.
It's happened before. Loyola a couple years ago, they went to the Final Four. If they wouldn't have won the MVC tournament, I don't know if you all remember, but you and I almost knocked them out in the quarterfinals. If you and I wins that game, we're not talking about Loyola in the NCAA tournament making a Final Four run. We're talking about them in the NIT. So you and I knows what the task is at hand. They were a couple points away from winning the tournament last year. They're just going to have to go to St. Louis and win it again. And now they have to worry about Loyola and the number one seed. Get that number one seed. You it's basically a shoe into the semifinal, and now you can focus on one task and one task only: improving your resume for Arch Madness in St. Louis.
I got a message last night on Twitter from our pal BJ and Marion, and he said, "I hate you," because I've been saying this for quite a while, at least a month, right? That the margin for error was so razor thin and that the MVC was a one-bid league and you and I just couldn't afford any slip-ups, and they had back-to-back slip-ups. You lose at home to Loyola, and okay, all bets are off now. And you go to an Indiana State team, which they're really good at the Holman Center, but Missouri State had just won there. Indiana State seemed to be a team that was trending down. They jumped out to a big lead last night. You and I able to come back in the second half. Had an opportunity at the end, but that only counts for so much. Couldn't get the job done, and now it's all about March, and it's all about St. Louis.
So the good news for you and I is that Loyola, who they're tied with at the top of the MVC standings, has two of their final three games on the road. Now they play Missouri State tomorrow. They'll play Missouri State tomorrow in Springfield, then they'll play Drake at home, then they'll finish the season with a good Bradley team in Peoria. So there's a legitimate shot that they could lose two of their final three games. And for you and I, they have two games at home. They have SIU and Evansville coming to the McLeod Center, and then they finish the season with Drake. So they have a very good chance, as long as they keep taking care of business, of getting that number one seed, which is what they're focusing on right now.
And if they win the regular season MVC crown and don't win the conference tournament, they're guaranteed a spot in the NIT.
NIT bid.
They should be an NIT team anyway, even if they don't win the MVC crown. But it's always nice to have that box checked off before you even have to worry about it. So take care of what's left of the regular season, win a regular season title, and at least know that you're in. I wouldn't want to face him in the NIT, and I've said this, but I wouldn't want to face you and I in the NCAA tournament. This is not pandering. I know we're in the middle of a presidential election, and we just got done with the Iowa caucuses. Oh, no, we didn't get done with the caucuses because they're still counting the votes, but people are on high alert for pandering. This is not pandering. I would not want to play you and I in the NCAA tournament. That's a good basketball team with a player in A.J. Green who's capable of taking a game over. It's the last thing you want to see in the NCAA tournament is a team from outside one of the Power 5, Power 6. Basketball's a little bit different than football. I don't want to mix metaphors here, but you don't want to see a team from outside the big conferences that has one player capable of taking a game over, because in a tournament setting, how many times have we seen one player take a game over? I really want to see A.J. Green in the NCAA tournament. The interesting thing here, I know you and I were having a conversation about this in the office, bracketology, and this means absolutely nothing, even on February 23rd. The closer we get to the tournament, I think the less it means somehow. That doesn't even make sense. Now I'm out here like Bill Walton, just saying. That was a great thing about watching last night's game was Oregon, Arizona State came on afterwards. I don't know if you watched
that game. I did not catch any of that game.
Arizona State upsetting Oregon. Arizona State at home upsetting Oregon. Bill Walton, in the middle of a swing for Oregon, said that that was one of the 9 worst possessions in Arizona State history. Now, there's no way he could possibly cite 8 that were worse than that. You just have to appreciate a guy who says something so completely random, yet compelling, and because it's Bill Walton, you almost sort of believed him. You're like, wow, that was a top 10 all-time worst possession for Arizona State, because Bill Walton said so. They had Frank Caliendo on the broadcast with them
with
last
Bill
night.
Walton.
I don't think you need anything else
for both of them. Though?
I don't think
That's
you
the
need anything else when you have Bill Walton doing games, but they had Frank Caliendo there last night, and a good night of college basketball on a Thursday night, but especially if you're a Hawkeye fan. 6th win over a ranked team this season. That ties them with Baylor. No other team in the country has 6 wins over a ranked team other than Baylor and Iowa. Big game tomorrow for Baylor, by the way, in the Big 12. They're going to be taking on Kansas. I like Kansas in that one, for what it's worth, which is not a whole lot. But the Hawkeyes back in the top 4 spots of the Big Ten standings after last night, and they're going to have an opportunity to get some help, more help that is, over this weekend. And if you're Iowa right now, you're trying to get to the finish line 2-2 over these next 4 games, I think.
If you do that, you're golden. You're sitting pretty. If
you go
2-2,
you go 2-2. You're pretty much guaranteed of a top 4 finish and the double bye at the Big Ten tournament.
And Luka Garza could be the national player of the year.
Dick Vitale thinks that Iowa plays in the Big East. He tagged the wrong conference on Twitter, but Dick Vitale was the latest national talking head to start chattering about Luka Garza. Who's been on the Garza train since day 1 of the season? I'm raising my hand right now. You can't see
patting
it.
Patting yourself on the back. I love it.
Yeah, well,
I love it.
You know, I think it was Rod Beck, who I have a photo of on my desk, that said nobody ever went on the disabled list for pulled fat, but I think I did just pull something patting myself on the back there. I've been on the Garza train since day 1. It was like me and Frank. Like, I feel like I should get one of the Let the Peacock Fly shirts.
So when everybody says nobody could have seen this coming...
Well, maybe not to this extent.
Yeah, this extent is just ridiculous. It's amazing to me watching him this year versus last year, where last year he's a good player. He had a good year.
Now, anybody...
And then this year, it's a completely different person out there, it seems like.
Again, any woman who has given birth can tell you that it takes a really long time to get back into feeling normal physically. And I liken having that cyst, that was a 9-pound cyst.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It
was like giving birth to a baby. Okay. Now, I wasn't in there in the operating room or anything, but you have a 9-pound mass removed from the center of your body. Okay. Good luck getting sewn up and then going out and competing and playing Big Ten basketball. So what we saw from him last year was obviously not, even though he's healthy, he's ready to go. He wasn't full. This is him fully healthy.
And think about the year before that, where he's playing with a 9-pound cyst and he doesn't know it. That's what I keep coming back to, where it's like, whoa, he's heavy-footed and he struggles to get up and down the court. Yeah, he has a 9-pound cyst in his gut.
We're talking about him like he's Oliver Miller out there. He's heavy-footed. Between Luka Garza and Joe Wieskamp, you've got two, I think, borderline NBA talents on the scene. It's been a long time since you could say that about an Iowa basketball team. I think Wieskamp can play in the NBA. I think Luka Garza can play in the NBA. I can't remember who it was, but said, hey, Ryan Bowen had like 9-10 years in the league. Okay, if Garza can work on a couple things, he's not going to be a superstar. Nobody's out there saying that he's going to be Giannis or anything like that, but Garza and Wieskamp can play in the NBA. Now, you start thinking, man, look ahead to next year. If they're both back and you add Jordan Bohannon into the fold, don't do that to yourself, by the way. If you're an Iowa basketball fan, don't even think about
living the here
2020, 2021. Just exactly enjoy where this team is at right now. And we took this, I think the text came in during the gym class a couple days ago, and I think it was an asinine text in the first place, but it was something along the lines of, wow, Fran McCaffrey's been here 9 years and this team has an opportunity to finish above 500 in Big Ten. People lose perspective of where this team was at the beginning of the season and what the thought process was for where Iowa could wind up. I mean, we came into the year thinking that this was going to be a good season if Iowa got to the NIT. That, well, they play their cards right. Maybe they get to the NIT. There weren't a whole lot of people
that seemed like a stretch.
That seemed like a stretch. There weren't a whole lot of people, realistically speaking, of the NCAA tournament at the beginning. Maybe you're hardcore black and gold Kool-Aid drinkers, but most people looked at this team and thought, you know what? If everything breaks right for them this year, they can get to the NIT. We're sitting here talking about this team being a 6 seed or higher in the tournament.
Latest round of bracketology. If they finish out the season 2-2, I think they're kind of guaranteed a top 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. Some folks,
St. Louis.
I would love that. Some folks on the text line talking about Joe Wieskamp and Luka Garza at the next level. I think Joe Wieskamp is the best NBA prospect that Fran McCaffrey's had. I really do. I think he's going to play in the NBA because you see what role he can fill in the NBA.
He can shoot.
He's one of the best spot-up shooters in college basketball. And
you're either uber-athletic, you're either 7'3", or you can shoot. Those are the three roles in the NBA. He fills one of them.
And he's an adequate defender. So he's one of those guys you see coming off the bench for a long time and being a spot-up shooter, whether that's this year or next year. I think, is the best NBA prospect that Fran's ever had. And Luka Garza, it's not quite as cut and dry. If he doesn't play in the NBA, he's going to make a lot of money in the EuroLeague, which is another really, really fantastic basketball league.
Wieskamp isn't going to the league, get real. Maybe not this year. I think he would like to, but unless you can send me your bona fides as an NBA talent evaluator, go look at some of the evaluations that are out there on him, the feedback. He's capable of playing in the league. And look at another 23-25, great example, Matt Thomas,
yes.
Iowa State.
Exactly.
Are you uber athletic? Are you 7'3", or can you shoot? Thomas can shoot. He's in the NBA. Garza doesn't really fill any of those roles, but he's close.
He's so productive and so good that the NBA is going to have no choice but to at least give him a shot. Whether that's in the coming off the bench or in the G League or wherever, they're going to have to take a look just based on how good he's been at the college level.
Let's not push these guys out the door yet before Iowa makes its Elite Eight run.
Okay. Sounds good. You heard it here first. Elite Eight. So anything less would be a disappointment, right?
Maybe not. Maybe don't run to the Elite Sportsbook to put money on that, but Iowa, Michigan State coming up Tuesday at the Breslin Center. I was trying to get to the bracketology. You led me circular back around to the point. Iowa, USC in St. Louis at the latest round. I think that was Joe Lunardi's bracketology. So we could have a rematch of the Holiday Bowl in St. Louis without my friend Mustachio sitting next to me at the bar talking about all the countries that he's been detained in. I got to get that story into print or on the screen somehow, because it's been rattling around in my head, the characters that I met in San Diego while I was there. Yeah, you said, and you'll roll out the red carpet for Rob when he gets in here tonight in the 5 o'clock hour as well, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. But you said, cover the NCAA tournament in St. Louis. You got a place to stay.
You and Rob.
I'm not extending. The pool's not going to be open.
No, the pool will not be open in mid-March.
Okay. Would like to check out the extensive Kuhn memorabilia collection, the Bernard Gilkey autographed ball.
Ray Lankford.
Shame
on me. Don't get it
twisted. Wait a minute. Buttons, I need a ruling here. Did we just remember some guys?
Oh, yes.
Throw in Luis Alicea.
Gary Gaetti.
Uh-oh, we're remembering, guys. It's 424. We're desperately coming close to coming off the rails here. We do have a poll question for you today, KGYMRadio.com. What's the outcome of tomorrow night's big fight going to be? Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury in a rematch, and we give you five options because, yes, even though a draw is the least appealing of the options, theoretically it could happen. You can vote now, KGYMRadio.com. The poll question brought to you by the good folks at Emil's Hideaway. Stop on in and tell them that you heard about them here on KGYM. Tomorrow is a big day for a number of baseball fans here in Eastern Iowa and across the Midwest. It's the debut of the Marquee Sports Network tomorrow. Are you excited?
I'm pumped.
Yeah, I know you're not. I'm not really even excited about
this. Are they going to have the Ernie Banks documentary on there?
It's on the list. Now, they were supposed to play the Cactus League opener tomorrow between the Cubs and the Athletics. A.J. Puck, the former Cedar Rapids, Washington standout, yep, who was a star at the University of Florida, sixth overall pick of the A's several years ago in the draft, is the scheduled starter tomorrow. There's rain in the forecast in the Phoenix area, so they have moved that game to the evening tomorrow night. But if you have, I believe, DirecTV, Mediacom, and IMON, all three have the Marquee Sports Network, and so you'll be able to watch A.J. Puck make his debut. He's probably only going to pitch an inning, maybe two would be my guess, but it's going to be able to see him make his debut. And it's been a long time coming. And as my sports view stated earlier today, I think the Cubs missed the window on the TV network thing because the money is not quite as insane as it was a decade ago. The Dodgers in L.A. are going on 6 years of not being on the Time Warner cable package in L.A. There's still people 6 years in L.A. who can't watch the Dodgers. And if you're a Cubs fan living in Chicago and you're a Comcast subscriber, you're kind of in the same boat right now, and they keep moving the goalposts. Oh, these spring training games don't matter. They'll be on the air by the regular season, the time the regular season rolls around. Well, I've got it, and what's more American than not worrying about somebody else as long as you've got yours? So
I'm fulfilling your duty as an American right now.
Exactly.
Todd.
I've got mine. I'm not concerned about anybody who doesn't have access to the network.
Can people come over to your house and
watch?
Oh, okay.
No. I feel like should offer the invitation. If you're inviting me to your house or your parents' house for the NCAA tournament, then the least I could do is invite folks over to watch the Marquee Sports Network. AJ, we'll have a big AJ Puck viewing party. How about that this weekend? But you can check that out tomorrow, 664 on DirecTV. I know that's the channel number. I don't have IMON and Mediacom in front of me, but if you go to the Marquee Sports website, you can figure out what channel to tune into. Lots more to get to today over the course of the next hour and a half. Connor McCaffrey, set to join us tonight at 5 o'clock. Get his thoughts on basketball and baseball, getting ready to figure out, it's a pleasant problem to have, but the Iowa basketball team doesn't look like its season's going to be over anytime soon, And the longer the basketball season goes, the more it keeps him away from Rick Heller and the baseball program. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com also set to join us. Thomas Bendit of SB Nation is on the way next, but first, we got to get you a big board update.
The Iowa Hawkeyes moved to 19-8 on the season last night with an 85-76 win over 25th-ranked Ohio State. Luca Garza was great as usual with 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists, but the story of the night were the contributions from the role players. Bakari Evelyn had 15 points and 3 assists off the bench. Ryan Kreener pitched in with 12 points and 4 boards, while Cordell Pimsel and Joe Toussaint both added 9 points. Pimsel had 7 rebounds on his stat line as well. The Hawkeyes are 10-6 in the Big Ten and are just a half a game behind Penn State for second place in the conference. It was a tough night for the UNI basketball programs. First, the men couldn't overcome a slow start in Terre Haute as they fell to Indiana State 67-64. UNI came roaring back from a 17-point deficit to have a chance to tie the game with their last possession, but an A.J. Green three-point shot would not go at the buzzer, and the Panthers suffered their fifth loss of the season. UNI is now tied atop the MVC standings with Loyola at 11-4 in league play. The number one seed in the conference tournament now looms large, with UNI's at-large chances likely done. The UNI women also fell to Illinois State. The Redbirds sweep the season series with a 69-61 win in Cedar Falls last night. The UNI women are now 15-10 on the season. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders are on the road this weekend in Plymouth, Michigan for two games against the Team USA developmental team. One game tonight, one game tomorrow night. Both will get underway at 6.05 p.m. Central Time.
All right. Thomas Bendit of SB Nation joining us on the other side of this break. We'll take a big picture look at the Big Ten. 10 teams looking in very good shape for the NCAA tournament. Iowa beating Ohio State last night, and we'll get his thoughts on that, as well as a man that he knows very well, John Beilein, and the situation that absolutely blew up in Cleveland this week. Thomas Bendit with us next.
We've got your best interest in mind. When you park your savings at DePaco Community Credit Union, you could earn more thanks to the above market rates. Locked in or liquid, fixed or variable rate. DePaco has options that give you the access to cash that you need, and your accounts are federally insured by NCUA. Your money for good. The deposits you make at DePaco are recycled into loans for your friends and neighbors. Now that's a concept in everyone's best interest. And you'll be money ahead with free tools like, you name it, savings accounts, savings buckets for whatever you wish, and change-up savings rounds up your debit card spending to the nearest dollar, automatically moving that extra change to an account that you choose. Easy money. Let us pique your interest. See all our savings and deposit rates at DePaco.com/rates or call or visit any DePaco office to discuss the many ways we can help you save. It's in your best interest. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to Wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide, or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option. Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio and a whole lot more. Now with the introduction of the new Jim OT on 107.5 FM, make sure you check it out as early as Monday morning. Plenty to get to coming up on the program today in the 5 o'clock hour. Connor McCaffrey set to join us after Iowa's big win at home over Ohio State last night. Iowa baseball season also underway. We'll find out how Connor's managing to keep both of those balls in the air. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com also set to join us inside tonight's big hour. Let's talk some Big Ten hoops, though. Thomas Bendit, it's been a while since we've had him on the program. The editor of BT Powerhouse on the SB Nation series of websites. And Thomas, before we get into Big Ten basketball, I know you focus primarily on the Michigan Wolverines, and I want to get your thoughts on the big story out of the NBA this week, and that's the fact that the John Beilein experiment in Cleveland turned out to be a colossal disaster. I don't think any of us were totally surprised by that, but were you surprised at just how ugly and how quickly that situation got off the rails?
Yeah, I definitely. The timing was certainly surprising. I mean, John Beilein, obviously insanely successful coach at the college level, had the big storyline with him as always. He was never an assistant, had basically worked his way up from the lower levels all the way to Michigan and in the national title game twice, decides to jump to the NBA. And I wasn't optimistic about the chances there. First off, the Cavs, but for the time that LeBron James have been there, have been an utter disaster of a franchise. And then you couple that with the fact that Beilein has a very intense coaching style. He's very committed to his philosophy, his plays, his setup. And that isn't something that necessarily is as well received in the NBA, historically speaking. I never thought he would make it all the way through his 5-year contract, but didn't see it coming before the All-Star break in the or during the All-Star break in his first season. So that was surprising, and I'm very interested, just as everybody else, to see what his next chapter will be, because I would frankly be kind of surprised if that is how he's going to go out and end his career. But we'll see. I mean, John Beilein's kind of an unpredictable guy, obviously, so we'll see what happens.
They said that they're going to reassign him. The Cavs said they're going to reassign him within the organization. How many phone calls do you think he's going to get from college programs begging him to take over their program this offseason?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you are a AD with an open college coaching position, I don't know how John Beilein's not your first call. I mean, every place he has gone in college, very successful. It had always been – every program has been in better shape when he left than when he started. And I think, you know, programs like Texas, maybe even one or two in the Big Ten will have interest. And I'll be curious to see, because I think if you are ranking college coaches, if John Beilein gets hired in March or April, I think you'd have to put him in the top 10. And if there's a top 10 coach sitting out there, I think it would be AD malpractice if you don't at least give him a call.
Well, let's get to the Big Ten race in general. Maybe it's just recency bias. Maybe it's the fact that we're here in Iowa and the Hawkeyes are in the middle of this. But can you think of a season where there's been more parity in the league and the games have been as enjoyable and as fun to watch as they have been this season?
You know, I think there was a 2-3 year run back in 2012 to 2014 or so where the Big Ten was really dominant, probably the nation's best conference for 3-4 years running, but it never had the depth that it does this year. I mean, the top five teams back then, you know, maybe are comparable, maybe a bit better than right now, but I've never seen it. I mean, the Big Ten undeniably goes at least 10, 11, 12 teams deep this year. And, you know, if you're a believer in the advanced stats and Ken Pom and all that kind of thing, Indiana right now is ranked 41 or 41st, excuse me, on Ken Pom. and they are 12th in the Big Ten in that category, which is just wild. I mean, usually 41st or so is good enough to get you in pretty comfortable in the NCAA tournament. And right now, Indiana is battling by the skin of their teeth to get in just because the Big Ten is so deep. Yeah, I mean, really high-quality basketball on every night. It's so tough going on the road to play these types of teams because, really, unless you're playing Nebraska or Northwestern, there are no off nights. Minnesota is another team that they're just dipped below 500 in the last week or so. And even the Gophers, they've upset Ohio State. They've upset Michigan. They've played a lot of other teams tough. So really no off nights. You get, you know, two or three the entire season. So it's been wild. It's been enjoyable. And I really think the Big Ten tournament this year is going to be really special as a result because it's just so unpredictable and so deep.
When you look at the Iowa Hawkeyes, a lot of people are wondering, why is this team a little bit different? Why have they been able to get themselves in this position with the lack of depth and the injuries that they've had? I think that Luka Garza is the obvious answer to that. He has been absolutely dominant, probably the best player in the country to this point. What stands out the most about Luka Garza when you watch him?
Oh, man, yeah, I was just about to answer that the question with Luka Garza. I mean, he's been fantastic. His game has just been unbelievable. I really, really like how he has developed his low post game this year, the ability to just – he knows he's going to get extra attention this year, and he still just keeps converting. He's so efficient, has been rebounding very, very well. I mean, his – I wouldn't call him a lockdown defender necessarily, but holding his own enough on that end where on the other end of the court, he can cash in for the Hawkeyes, obviously. So it's been really fun to watch him this season. Frankly, if I was voting for National Player of the Year, I'd vote for Garza at this point. And it's going to be really enjoyable to see him match up, I think, in the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten, I think, is pretty deep in the front court this year. Maybe not as deep as it was, again, 5-10 years ago or so. But I think the Big Ten's really deep there. And my guess is Iowa's going to match up with a team or two in the NCAA tournament that they're just not going to have anyone who can guard Garza, which is going to be really fun to watch, I think, for Hawkeye fans.
Thomas Bendit of SB Nation's BT Powerhouse with us on a Friday evening here in Eastern Iowa. Next up for the Hawkeyes, a trip to East Lansing that it has not gone well for the Hawkeyes. They've taken good teams to East Lansing and not had much success. But what is it about this year's Michigan State team that has made them at least seem less invincible than they have been in the past?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the big difference between this year's and last year's team that ended up winning the Big Ten, going to the Final Four, is the role players this year have just taken a big step back. Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman are still really good guys in that ball screen game, extremely difficult to defend. Iowa's going to have all they can handle in that regard. But you don't have those ace guys from three-point range like McQuaid, like Goins last year. And we'll see if some of those guys like Rocket Watts or Aaron Henry or Gabe Brown can step it up here, but they don't have that third scorer. They don't have that guy who can really extend the defense from three this year. And I think that has been the big thing that has slowed them down over the course of the season, despite having Cassius Winston, who still might be the best point guard in the Big Ten, let alone the country. So they've become a little bit easier to defend just because I don't think they have that floor spacing they had last year. And we'll see what Iowa can do on Tuesday night. I think they're going to have their hands full with that ball screen game between Winston and Tillman. But if they can slow that down at all, I think they'll have a chance just because Michigan State's role players haven't been that great this year.
I think we've been asking, when is the cream going to rise to the top in the Big Ten? And you look at Maryland, a lot of people thought they were the most talented team coming into or the conference play, not coming into the year because Michigan State was ranked number one, but coming into conference play, a senior point guard in Anthony Cowan, Jalen Smith, they play really good defense. Now they've won 9 in a row. They've gotten some really good wins on the road against Illinois and on the road against Michigan State. Are we starting to see them maybe separate themselves from the pack a little bit?
Absolutely. I think at this time, you know, Maryland, it would be pretty surprising if they don't walk away with the Big Ten title at this point, given how they've played over the last 2 months or so, and just given what Cowan has done. I mean, he's been fantastic, hitting shot after shot in that game against Michigan State on the road last Saturday. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see them over the last couple of weeks of the season. But Maryland has, I was just saying this to someone the other day, they have everything you look for typically in a Final Four team. Experienced point guard, they're relatively balanced on both sides of the floor. You know, they have a top five defense in terms of efficiency, top 30 or so offense, experienced talent, great big man. I mean, just about all the stuff you usually look for in a team that can make a Final Four run. We'll see what happens in that Big Ten tournament, because Maryland has had a tough recent history in that event. But if there's a year they're going to snap those struggles, I would think it would have to be this year.
If you had a vote for Big Ten Coach of the Year, who would you give it to right now?
Oh, my gosh. Coach of the Year. Wow. Probably Steve Peichel for Rutgers. I mean, it really isn't just for this year. It's sort of been a building process. But Rutgers, probably just one win away from, generally speaking, locking up an NCAA tournament bid. And if you had told someone a couple years back that Rutgers would be in the NCAA tournament in a few years, I think they would have laughed you out of the room. But Rutgers on the verge of doing it this year with a roster that frankly isn't all that talented. I mean, if you look at the players they have there, there aren't really any big stars, but they play together really well. They play extremely hard, defend very well as on that side of the floor. And I think Rutgers has a chance of making some noise in the NCAA tournament if they play well as well. So, I mean, it's exciting to see if you're a Scarlet Knight fan and the rise of that program. A couple of years ago, they were almost 300th in KenPom. So just utterly horrible. And right now, again, they've received top 25 votes a lot this year and on the verge of an NCAA tournament appearance. So it's been an incredible rise. So I think I'd have to go with Peichel for Coach of the Year at this point.
Now, having said all that, are you maybe a little bit nervous if you're a Rutgers fan, looking at the fact that you were kind of skating along 17-0 at home, then you lose that game against Michigan, you look at the final four games of the season on the road three times against Wisconsin, Penn State, and Purdue, and then that home game against Maryland? It just seems like they need to get one of those wins, but it may be easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be nerve-wracking, and I don't think Rutgers will be alone in this. I think there's probably five or six Big Ten teams that, again, just due to the depth of the league this year, it's really hard to get that requisite number of wins. You know, the typical cutoff point has always been 19, 20, 21 wins or so is where you start feeling comfortable about making the big dance, and it's been really hard this year. Rutgers, they got three road games remaining. They have not been great on the road by any means this season, especially when you're talking about Wisconsin, Penn State, Purdue, teams that are pretty solid there. And then Maryland at home, who's been, obviously, as we just talked about, excellent over the last 2 months or so. So it's going to be tough, but I do think Rutgers will get at least one more win and make it in, even if it has to come in the Big Ten tournament. I think they'll get it. I think 19. If you're in the Big Ten this year, is going to be enough. And I think they're going to hear their name called. It might be a little stressful, as you mentioned, but I do think they're going to make it in.
What's your best guess, knowing that we don't have any clue what the draws are going to be here, but the Sweet 16 rolls around, how many Big Ten teams do you think are still standing?
Oh, geez. I would think at least three or four, maybe more. I do think this is a year where a lot of the teams, particularly, you know, a couple examples I would use are Illinois, Michigan, Ohio State have kind of been beaten down at parts of Big Ten play. Even Michigan State, to a certain extent, has just had a tough stretch recently. And I think they're going to ball out when they get to the NCAA tournament, get a couple easier opponents, get things rolling, get the offense cruising. And I think the two sleepers that I'd be looking at if when I'm making my bracket are Michigan and Ohio State. I have a feeling those teams are going to be relatively moderate seeds, but both were great in non-conference play. Both seem to be picking it up a little bit. despite Ohio State's loss on Thursday night to Iowa. I think both teams are picking up some momentum and will be pretty tough outs in the tournament. But yeah, I could see four, maybe even more than that in the Sweet 16. It's really deep. Now, whether any can make the Final Four or beyond, that's a different story. But I definitely think there'll be a lot of teams in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
You mentioned Illinois, and I know a lot of Illini fans were getting a little bit nervous after that four-game losing streak and then the injury to Ayo Dosunmu against Michigan State that looked bad and clearly wasn't nearly as bad as we thought it was going to be. But how nice was it to see him come back and have such a big performance on the road against Penn State and Illinois kind of get back into this discussion?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Illinois, they looked like they might start walking away with the Big Ten in mid to late January. And then, as you mentioned, they have that four-game losing streak. But big win on Tuesday night at Penn State. Penn State, they were in the same position, you know, a little while back, absolutely rolling. And now they suffer a tough loss at home. But I think Illinois, they're a really solid team. Obviously, Dosunmu is a key piece there. I don't think they're going to go very far if they don't have him. But luckily, he's back now. They've had a little time. They returned to action on Monday against Northwestern, which should be a pretty easy game at home, on paper at least. And then they follow that up with a road game at Northwestern and then Indiana home. So they have a chance to really get some momentum going here with a lot of winnable games, at least on paper. Get some momentum going into the Big Ten tournament, and we'll see. I mean, again, I think it's anyone's guess once we get to the Big Ten tournament. It's going to be really wild this year.
Thomas, it's going to be a fun two and a half weeks before we get to that tournament. We appreciate the time as always. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Thomas Bendit of SB Nation. BT Powerhouse is the website. And speaking of SB Nation, a reminder, you can catch SB Nation radio programming on 107.5 FM, the new Jim OT, featuring Matt Peralt's Pushing the Odds every day from 12 to 3, among others. More details on our website, kgymradio.com. Iowa's got a top four double bye spot at the moment. If the season ended today after last night's win, they're tied with Michigan State at 10-6 in the Big Ten. You got Penn State at 10-5, so they've got a half game lead on the Spartans and the Hawkeyes. And then number 7, Maryland at 12-3. Sitting atop the Big Ten at the moment. But after that top four, it's really interesting. Illinois, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Michigan, all above 500 in Big Ten play. And then you've got Indiana, Ohio State, and Purdue at 7-9. Ohio State, the cutoff most likely for the NCAA tournament. But who knows? Purdue goes on a run to close out the season or something, and maybe the Big Ten sneaks an 11th team in. I think Minnesota was probably the best opportunity for that to happen, and we're seeing the Gophers circle the drain right now. But what a season of Big Ten basketball. This has been a truly enjoyable, and it's not just because the Hawkeyes are exceeding expectations and winning, but I've watched a lot of non-Iowa-related Big Ten basketball games this year, and very rarely have I not been entertained, at least in games that didn't involve Northwestern.
Iowa is in a position right now where Penn State plays Indiana on Sunday. If Penn State loses on the road, which they've struggled away from home, Iowa will be in a tie for second place in the Big Ten on February 23rd.
Unthinkable.
It's absolutely incredible.
3 months ago.
But here we are, and they're finding any way to get it done, and it certainly helps, as we've discussed, that Luka Garza, they have the best player in the country right now, and it just completely changes the outlook of a team. But these next few games, can they continue to win the games at home against pretty solid but beatable opponents in Penn State and Purdue? Can they pick up a win on the road against either Michigan State or Illinois? I don't think that they really have to, as long as they hold serve at home, but they're looking at a spot where they can get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, and that's, I think, what they're shooting for at this point.
So the Hawkeyes head to East Lansing on Tuesday. That game is going to be on ESPN2, and then they'll close out the regular season. Two home games against Penn State and Purdue, and then March 8th, they'll travel to Illinois to take on the Fighting Illini. looking to finish off a season sweep of Illinois after that 72-65 win earlier in the season. Boy, I don't know what to expect on Tuesday. That is going to be a fantastic game. Like I said, Iowa has taken some really talented teams to East Lansing and just fallen flat. Maybe this year is different. There's something about this team. I can't put my finger on it, but I still don't like... I still don't have a good feeling anytime Iowa goes to East Lansing for men's basketball. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and Iowa has struggled away from home just like everybody in the Big Ten has. And that's been the way that it has gone this season. But Michigan State has not been as dominant at home this year as they have been in the past. And I think that's one of the weird signs when you look at Michigan State and wonder, okay, what's wrong with them? They lost to Maryland at home. They lost to Penn State at home. They've lost some games at the Breslin Center, and you just wonder, wow, that's very unlike a Michigan State Tom Izzo coach team, especially one that made it to the Final Four last year and was the number one team in the country at the beginning of the season. So they're beatable, but Iowa's going to have to play well on the road, which is something that they've not done a whole lot this year.
This team has a chance to go into the Big Ten tournament with 21 wins if they can close out the home portion with wins over Penn State and Purdue. And like you mentioned, the Nittany Lions are a different team when you take them out of state college. 21 wins going into the Big Ten tournament? Nobody would have bet on that at the beginning of the season. We need to take a quick timeout. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com is going to be joining us in just a few minutes at 5 o'clock. Connor McCaffrey also hopping on the program tonight, the Hawkeye guard and baseball standout, getting ready for a very busy month or so here as he still focuses on the Hoops team and a possible deep run into the NCAA tournament. We chatted with Rick Heller earlier in the week about Connor and his involvement with the baseball program right now. We'll hear firsthand from him coming up after 5 o'clock. But first, it's our final pair of tickets to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top. Tickets are finally on sale to the general public now as of 10 o'clock this morning. We got our final pair, Wells Fargo Arena, the Iowa Events Center, October 10th in Des Moines. That is the date for this concert. It's Def Leppard's 2020 Vision Tour, along with fellow Rock and Roll Hall of Famer ZZ Top. Two tickets on us right now. Caller number 6-319-366-1600. And you may be a happy person for winning them, but you're not going to be as happy as Buttons is to be the one who gives them away to you. Caller number 6-319-366-1600. We'll find out who's heading to Des Moines in October to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top when we return after this.
Hey guys, spring cleaning is just around the corner, so get ready at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, a heavy-duty interlocking shelving system is just $29.99, and a 2-in-1 24-inch push broom with squeegee is just $18.99.
Right, Hal, and you get a free 3-pack of Best roller covers when you buy any gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Platinum Interior Paint, too.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we'll give you this barbershop quartet who'll sing the name of the perfect hire.
Vince Lundy.
Vince Lundy.
Vince Lundy.
Vince Lundy.
Okay, there's no quartet. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Next stop, Graham Street. And Brian in the khaki shorts, your GNL energy bill went up 60% this month. Seems like you want to know. Stand clear of the closing doors.
So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong, like increases to a recurring bill, then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Limitations apply.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities.
or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Get a $22 Shell gift card with a Pennzoil full synthetic purchase. Ends 2/23/20. Terms apply. Details at Pennzoil.com/oil change offer.
The Home Depot has a secret recipe for new kitchen appliances, up to 40% off appliance special buys, like a stainless steel Whirlpool kitchen package for only $18.98. You get a side-by-side refrigerator, electric range, dishwasher, microwave, and for a limited time, over $1,000 off. Guess the secret's out. Save now on a Whirlpool kitchen, only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only, gas extra, see store for details, valid through February 26th.
Congratulations, Mark, in Cedar Rapids. You are heading to Des Moines in October to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top. Our final pair of tickets have been given away. Thanks to everybody for calling all week long, trying to take those off our hands. Remember, tickets on sale now. You can get them at the Iowa Events Center website, Wells Fargo Arena, downtown Des Moines, October 10th. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Def Leppard and ZZ Top, the 2020 Vision Tour. We are right around the corner from a fantastic big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com has taken up residence in the studios with us here in Cedar Rapids, and we will kick off the big hour with a guy who's trying to play two sports and play them both at a very high level at the University of Iowa, Connor McCaffrey, coming off a big win over Ohio State last night in basketball. And probably keeping tabs on how the Iowa baseball team's doing in San Diego this weekend as well, as they face a murderer's row of competition at the Tony Gwynn Legacy Classic. Connor McCaffrey joins us here on KGYM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio and more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. A vote on the proposed NFL collective bargaining agreement will go to full membership of the NFL Players Association, reports ESPN Dan Graziano. A simple majority vote would be required to approve the new CBA. Players Association will meet and plan to vote on Tuesday. Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, part two for the heavyweight title, is tomorrow night in Las Vegas after they fought to a draw in their first fight. ESPN's Teddy Atlas with his prediction for tomorrow night.
I see Wilder winning by knockout. I see Fury not being right mentally as much as, you know, he makes you think he's confident in the bravado, what I just finished saying. You know, he's going into the lion's den and all that stuff. I believe that in reality, that means, forget about the judges. It doesn't mean that he's worried about the judges. He's worried about himself, that he really has the best shot to go after him, catch him by surprise, catch him early.
Teddy Atlas on the Will Cain Show. Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder tomorrow night in Las Vegas on ESPN Plus at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Coming up Monday, the latest on the NFL CBA and what it means for the upcoming season. Plus, we react to Celtic Lakers, Fury Wilder, and pretty much everyone else versus Rob Manfred. Plus, who won the weekend? Monday, Golic and Wingo. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar is turning three, and they're throwing a party. Come celebrate with them on March 14th with an open mic comedy night at 7 and a show featuring professional comedian Carl Giannetto at 8. It's been an amazing 3 years at Brick Alley, and in that short time, they've become the number one sports pub in Marion. So come by March 14th and join the party. Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar, celebrating 3 years on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
When Allstate agents and employees go to work every day, their number one priority is protecting what matters most to you. For military veterans, that instinct to protect also comes naturally. No wonder thousands of veterans build good careers with Allstate. And now, Allstate is ranked the number one employer on the 2020 Military Friendly Employers list. You're in good hands with Allstate.
For career opportunities or to get a quote, contact Allstate today. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
There's something out there for you and me, and the American road is calling, so what's it gonna be. Hey, it's an amazing day, traveling our own highway. No matter where it leads us, we can smile, cause it's leaning in the mile.
Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
This is Jesse's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
As a nurse, not making it to work was not an option. But driving through the snow with my wiper blades struggling, I just didn't feel safe. So I pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts, and before I knew it, an employee was offering to install the wiper blades on my car. I got to stay out of the snow for a moment, and I still made it to work on time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here's the thing. Saving money with GEICO is almost better than playing pickup basketball. Because there's always that guy who joins your game. He never passes the rock, he constantly bricks threes, and he'll completely hack you and then put his hands up and say, no foul, no foul. With GEICO, it's easy to switch and save on car insurance. No need to fake an ankle sprain because you're absolutely exhausted. So switch and save with GEICO. It's almost better than sports.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City, plus the all-new Jim OT featuring SB Nation radio programming and more on 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com settling into the studio with us, which means only one thing on a Friday. Time for another big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his crew doing great work for now 16 years in Iowa City. And while we've got his attention, congratulations going out to Steve. I know his son just finished up year number two of his college basketball career. So time to sit back and enjoy the end of the college basketball season. Just give Steve more time to watch his beloved Iowa Hawkeyes. And speaking of the Hawkeyes, big win last night over the Ohio State Buckeyes at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We'll get into that with Rob a little bit more once we're finished up with our next guest. But happy to have with us a guy who's getting pulled in a lot of directions this time of year. He's probably keeping tabs on the Iowa baseball team as it heads west to San Diego, but his heart and his body still in Iowa City, where the Hawkeyes will be traveling to Michigan State on Tuesday. It's Connor McCaffrey. Hey, Connor, thanks for joining us. Todd and Alex here along with Rob, and congratulations on yet another big win last night. This has been a fun season for you guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was very fun last night. Got out to that great start and, you know, kind of never really looked back. And, you know, it was fun, you know, great crowd, and it was a really, really good game to be a part of.
One of the things that I think sticks out about this team in particular for a lot of people that watch you guys is it seems like you guys play with a confidence and an edge. You don't back down to anybody, and when the game gets close, it feels like you guys believe you're going to win the game down the stretch. Do you guys collectively feel that at all times out on the court?
You know, I think we do. I think we have a really tough group, tough-minded, extremely competitive group. And, you know, when you have guys that, you know, we play really well together. Then on top of that, you know, like I said earlier, we're extremely competitive. So it's like, you know, we know what needs to be done, and we're really not going to, you know, we're not backing down to anything in those kind of cases, because, you know, we just want to win. And that's kind of been the message so far this year.
Connor, I think there's a belief out there, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it, that people look at you as a two-sport athlete and feel like your better chance to play professionally is in baseball. And I had somebody to reach out to me on Twitter the other day asking me again when you're going to quit basketball and just focus on baseball. And I try to explain to people that this is a situation where it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you're going through right now with the ability to play two sports in college. Do you think about that at all, or is it just, you know, hey, I'm a two-sport athlete and I'm going to do this while I can?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what it is. Like you just said, you know, I'm going with it right now, and I'm not thinking about when I'm going to quit one or quit the other. I'm going to, and to to be honest, I'm not going to end up playing one just because I have a better chance professionally in that either. Like, I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm, you know, just going to eventually quit baseball or quit basketball. I'm going to wait and see, you know, what, which sport, like, I'm truly, you know, loving and enjoying. And, you know, if that's baseball, then it's baseball. If it's basketball, then it's basketball. You know, I'm not worried about, you know, my future necessarily yet. You know, I'm not trying to think about that. I'm just trying to think about the present and, like, what we got going with this team right here. And then what, once I move into the baseball season, what we got going with them, and just continuing to focus on, you know, the present.
We'll get to back to the baseball here in just a little bit, but back to last night's game against the Buckeyes. How enjoyable was it for you guys to see guys like Cordell have the game that he did? Some of the role players step up and have such a huge role in a victory last night.
It was awesome. I mean, you know, Cordell was great, Bakari was great, Ryan was great. I mean, in a game and against a team like Ohio State, especially when CJ's out, you got to have guys step up, and they did. I mean, it was, you know, to a T. Everybody, you know, everyone did their part, and, you know, that's what makes a win like that so fun, is, you know, everybody's happy. Everyone feels like, you know, they're a part of it, and, you know, we're all celebrating together, and, you know, it's just one big collective group. And, you know, but, you know, for the most part, that's what it's been this year, is, you know, we all have tremendous faith in each other. And I think that that's, you know, kind of why we've been as successful as we have been, is because of the trust that we do have for everybody on the team.
You talk about roles, and you talk about you guys being able to play well together. The role that you're in this year, where you're playing a little bit more off the ball, it takes advantage of your great passing ability and your length. Do you feel more comfortable in the spot that you're at this year and the way that it kind of takes advantage of your skill set?
I like, you know, kind of being the utility guy. You know, whether or not I'm more comfortable, you know, it's probably like I feel like I'm pretty comfortable in whatever position I'm in, kind of. But, you know, being moved around the way that I am, you know, it's been interesting this year. And, you know, I've guarded, you know, I mean, I've guarded Anthony Cowan, and I've guarded, you know, Georgie from Illinois. Like, that type of thing doesn't happen. And it's been fun, because, you know, I'm learning, but I'm also kind of, I'm trying to do whatever, you know, the team needs, whether it's, you know, last night I technically started at the two. A couple games ago I started at the four. I played the one down the stretch at Indiana, played the one last night, you know, in certain cases. But, you know, also, you know, for me, when I'm being moved around like that, it's a lot due to the other people as well. Like, BK also knows the two spot. So if I move to the one, BK can play the two. Weezy can still play the three. And, you know, and whatever else happens. So it's been that way the whole season.
Wherever you are, you're a facilitator, whatever position you're at, you're the guy that helps facilitate this offense. When you're diagnosing things, you know, especially at the beginning of games, when you look at what teams are trying to do against Luka and Joe Wieskamp, are you amazed at all the different tactics that are being used to try to slow those two guys down?
Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting. I mean, we've seen pretty much everything at this point. You would think, you know, whether it's single coverage and staying home on everybody else, or it's double or even triple teaming. Like, Nebraska basically tried to triple team him, even quadruple team him at something. Like, it was unbelievable what they were doing. So it's like the different ways that teams have been playing him, it helps us to get the ball into him early and get the ball to Weezy early, so that we can figure out what they're doing, one, and then two, adjust throughout the game. So, like, you know, whether, you know, if it's an early turnover that happens, or it's an early, you know, bad shot, contested shot, we'll learn from that. You know, I try to learn from that at least, and say, okay, well, if they're playing them like this, then, you know, if I get them the ball here and somebody flashes, you know, cuts to the rim, or I circle behind the double team, we're going to get an open shot. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, like me, like, I'm always trying to figure out and look for, is, okay, let's get Luka a touch on the first possession. Let's get Weezy a touch on the first possession and see how they play it.
Connor McCaffrey joining us here on KGYM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio and more. At what point this year, Connor, did you realize that maybe you were dealing with a different animal in Luka Garza?
To be honest with you, it was summer workouts. It wasn't really even this year. Summer workouts, I'm telling you, he didn't miss a three for, it had to have been a month. Like, it was unbelievable. He was making turnaround jumpers, pick and pop threes, wasn't missing, just taking over workouts. And it really, in the past, like, if you got it to him on the block, like, he would score at an efficient rate. But this wasn't that. This was dominating. And I think that at that time, I was like, okay, he's really going to be something special this year. And I think I think he showed it pretty early on. You know, it was in Vegas, you know, he stepped up huge. I mean, he scored early on pretty much religiously, and he's always been a really good scorer. But I think it was a lot of the other stuff that was good to see. I mean, he's blocking shots. He's taking charges. He's moving his feet better, so he's not getting in foul trouble. You know, so that's like kind of the work on his body that he's done. He's passing out of double teams a lot better. And it's just his all-around game has improved.
How amazing is just the relentless energy, too. At 6'11", 260 pounds, he seemingly just doesn't get tired.
Yeah, no, he really doesn't. And, you know, I think you got to credit that to his work ethic. I mean, he works, you know, at a extremely high rate. I mean, he's always doing something. You got to give his dad some credit for that, you know, the workouts that he puts him through. And, like, I remember I saw a video or something. He's got, like, sleds taped to him. He's running around football fields and stuff. Like, you know, it's just that kind of stuff. But he loves it. Like, you know, that's his thing. That's his work ethic showing out. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, he's in tremendous shape now, but he's been in really good shape for, you know, since the summer. I mean, he rarely gets tired, and, you know, he's an extreme competitor. So even if he is tired, he's not going to show it. He's going to fight through and get to that next dead ball or that next media timeout.
Connor, another question I get a lot from fans is wondering how Patrick's doing, how he's kind of, you know, how you guys are managing that, and how is he doing? Is he getting better? And what's it been like for you as an older brother? I mean, that's your younger brother trying to help him get through this.
Yeah, no, it's been good recently, I think, in terms of, you know, his spirits. You know, that's the thing, you know, you worry about the most, I think, is you always want him to be in good spirits. You want him to be happy, feeling good. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, part of the issue is, you know, there's days where he might not necessarily feel good, or, you know, the ups and downs, like, he might feel great one day and the next day he feels terrible and it's kind of a letdown. But, you know, that's where, you know, we have people always trying to help. Like, I'll always, you know, be in his corner, you know, regardless of what it is. And I'll try to encourage him and, you know, just be there for him in whatever sense that he needs. And, you know, I think that he has, you know, tons of friends that do the same, and, you know, he's going to be all right.
We should say congratulations. I know you picked up some academic all-district honors this week from COSIDA, carrying a 3.5 grade point average. So you got a 3.5 grade point average. You're playing basketball. You're playing baseball. What's the most difficult part of trying to keep all those balls in the air, football or basketball, baseball, and the student-athlete part of it?
I would say it's definitely kind of right now in the in-between stages of both basketball and baseball, and then adding academics to that, because, like, right now we're traveling, you know, midweek to tons of Big Ten. You know, like, last week we went to Indiana Thursday, Minnesota Sunday. So, like, I had a ton of homework last week, so I got to figure out when I'm going to get that done. And I have people helping me do that for sure, you know, whether it's my teachers working with me, or, you know, if I'm at home, like, I'll constantly just be working on stuff. So, you know, that's always a plus. But, you know, missing class, and because of travel, and then worrying about basketball plus baseball, I would say it's right now is definitely the hardest, but it's going to get better for sure.
Yeah, how often are you even able to get swings in and work with the baseball team at this point of the season?
I'm still able to go in a decent amount. It sucked in one stretch. Like, the baseball team had a bunch of, you know, live sets and practices and stuff that I would have liked to be involved in, but I really just couldn't because there was one stretch where we went like 16 or 18 straight days in basketball with no day off. Like, we were going game, 2 day prep game, 2 day prep game, like stuff like that. So I miss out on some stuff there, but I'm still able to get in and just get BP from coach, or, you know, get in and get T work by myself. I even had a couple of my friends, you know, flip me front toss late at night sometimes. So, you know, what regardless of the situation, I'm still getting in there when I can and just trying to get as much work in as possible before I join up with the squad.
Your dad had told us earlier this year how you have been a student of the game since you were a little guy and watching film and things like that. Do you see yourself being a coach someday?
You know, I definitely could. I don't really want to, like, pencil that in as of right now, but, you know, I for sure could see myself being a coach. There's a lot of things that are up in the air still. But, you know, I do coaching, and, you know, college basketball is what I know. That's pretty much the family business. And, you know, if there's anything, you know, that I know the ins and outs of, it's going to be basketball. So I feel like that's not a bad place to start if I was going to be a coach.
Well, Connor, we appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we know you're really busy this time of year, so we won't keep you any longer, but congratulations on the great season so far, and good luck on Tuesday in East Lansing.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Connor McCaffrey joining us on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Kids leading the country in assist-to-turnover ratio, and there are some people who are complaining that he's not a good enough scorer. I don't get it, Rob. I don't get where some people come from, because as one of the texters is chiming in on the First Federal Credit Union text line, his nickname should be Glue, because he seems to be the glue that sort of is holding this team together this year. I mean, he does a little bit of everything. They don't need him to be a scorer. They need him to sort of run the show out there, take care of the ball, and he's doing a fantastic job of that.
I think Fran made a good point last night, and last night the story was how the role players contributed, because why? They scored, and that's what people know.
Right.
If they score points, people pay attention to that. But as Fran said, we don't have 19 wins if it's Garza and Wieskamp and nobody else. They need contributions from everybody, and Connor has been the steady contributor. He's very underappreciated, but if you talk to basketball people, guys that have played the game, guys that coach the game, they have an appreciation for what Connor brings.
You saw him play at Iowa City West.
Yeah.
This is exactly the type of player I thought he would be.
Yeah.
And which is a very important player on a basketball team, and something that this team for years has been lacking, a sort of a floor general, somebody that is a great passer, a great post-entry passer, which is pretty important, by the way, on this team with one of the best, or the best post player in the country, and a guy that you can move all over the court and put in a bunch of different roles. Is he going to be a slashing point guard, a guy that's going to break you down off the dribble or score 30 points a night? No, but on a good team, he serves a role. And I honestly, I've said this a couple of times, I think he's going to get better shooting. I think that he has some shooting ability. It's just all about confidence with him.
He had a big one last night early. Well, that early run last night, and you could tell.
You can tell the confidence. Yeah. When he hits one, then he can make a couple. But he's had a fantastic season and works perfectly for what they need him to do.
If you look at Minnesota and last night against Ohio State, total 11 assists, one turnover. I mean, if you can't see the value in that, I can't help you.
And I think more people do now. The critics are becoming less and less, but it's not easy being a coach's son at this level. That is for sure.
And we've all been around Connor. If there's anybody that can handle it, he is built to handle whatever you want to throw at him. He is a tough kid. And I would say that this team's personality, and Todd asked about this, that edge a big reason for the edge is his personality.
There doesn't seem to be any ego on this year's team, which is extremely rare in this day and age.
Get mine. I got to get mine.
And none of those guys have that. I mean, it's a major part of the reason why I think they're having as much success as they are, because there's nobody trying to get theirs. It's okay on any given night if Evelyn steps up and has a big game, they're happy for him. If Connor has a big game, they're happy for him. You know Luca's going to have a big game. So so off summer workouts, that's when the light bulb went on and they realized something special could be going on here with the big man.
And meanwhile, us chuckleheads are, you know, writing and talking on the air about, maybe they're in the NIT. Meanwhile, they're watching this guy. What did he say? Didn't miss a three-pointer for a month?
See, I just have to, like, think about what that looks like up close, where you have a guy who's 6'11", 260, 265 pounds, who doesn't miss a shot from beyond the arc, and is in as good a shape as he came into this year looking. And of course, that's when the light bulb's going to click. Like, this is a rare thing. That's the thing about Luka Garza. Late in games, the bigs that he plays against get tired. You naturally get tired lugging all that weight around. And he doesn't. Maybe he does, but he doesn't show it, which is absolutely incredible. That's the most amazing part of his game to me this year.
I think Arturo had 15 on Sunday, which was the six below his average, and Caleb Wesson had 10 last night before fouling out. So it's not just on the offensive end either. And give Ryan Kriener credit. He's being asked to guard some of those other bigs as well, and he's been really good down the stretch. He's the lone senior. Pemsel's in the same academic grade, but Kriener's the only guy on this team and Evelyn, who's a graduate transfer, who will be out of eligibility, which has everybody asking what next year's team is going to look like.
Well, you never know what the offseason is going to look like. We don't want to put the cart before the horse there, but just an amazing season so far. He mentions the family business. There's another McCaffrey. And I see Jack's tape is starting to – how old is he? He's not very old.
He's in seventh grade.
Okay.
Two guys, Jack McCaffrey and Yose Epinesa. They look like Gulliver out there with the kids that they're playing at in junior high.
Now, I've heard Fran, I can't remember who said it, but Fran said, were we talking with Mac? I can't remember. Fran said that Jack is going to be the tallest of the three boys.
Did they say he's like, I've heard like trending to like 6'10", 6'11", and skilled? Yeah, I'm sure Fran will hang around for that.
Well, it's fun to think ahead down the road. Real quick before we move on from Connor, Alex has got to get a big board in here, but baseball. He's having fun playing basketball right now, but I'm with you. I think the pull of baseball's ultimately going to get him.
I think he's going to play both sports for his college career. I really do. And then if, you know, maybe when he's a fifth-year senior or going into that year, maybe. But, I mean, we talked about it. He's a really valuable member of the basketball team, and if the basketball team continues to have success, how do you walk away from that? So I don't know. If I'm him, enjoy it now. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. As he said, he's not going to base it on where he may have the best professional future. He's enjoying the now, and I think we should applaud that. We should all live in the now.
Well, and I'm glad you asked about Patrick, because I was going to there as well. I think one of the things that's been unsaid about this season is how difficult this has to have been behind the scenes for both Connor and for Fran. But, you know, dealing with Patrick and the residual effects of the thyroid cancer and the medication that he takes and not being able to get up to speed as far as the strength and conditioning goes, and to have that go on and to still be able to have the season that you're having with that distraction, because it's not just a teammate or a player that you're coaching, it's a brother and it's a son. I don't think we probably have focused on that enough.
And like Connor was saying, there's days where they show up to practice and Patrick just isn't feeling well. And that's just, as you said, Todd, that's got to wear on you emotionally.
I think last year might have been a little bit of a emotionally draining season for both Fran and Connor as well, where you're hearing a lot of the noise, even though that Iowa gets to the second round of the NCAA tournament. And like we said, we come into this year and we're sitting here saying it's a stretch if they can get to the NIT.
But we
this
weren't
year.
Wrong and it, at the time.
At the time, we weren't. I mean, what were we supposed to say?
What I'm saying is it's not shock jockey.
No,
that have been saying that back in
somebody. I'm trying to find the exact
texter that said, "Hey, I'm the guy that said we were going to win 12 games this year." So it's nice to know that we've gotten to the point now where everybody can
12 total or 12
call themselves out. I'm hoping
12 total.
Well,
oh, okay,
yeah. I mean, we had some solid takes from listeners at the beginning of the basketball season. So kudos to those who are still with us and willing to admit their mistakes. But at the time, it certainly wasn't being met with resistance from a whole lot of people. We didn't have a lot of people that were saying, "Oh, you guys are just trying to troll here." I think most people looked and said, "Well, you lose Bohannon 10 games into the season. You know that that's going to happen." Yeah, the ceiling isn't
Tyler
looking.
Tyler Cook, Isaiah Moss, Nicholas Bear. I mean, they lost a lot off of last year's team.
And here they are, a seven-man team. It's like the equivalent of Iron Man football out there. We'll see. We'll get into Tuesday in East Lansing on the other side of the break, get some thoughts on some other issues as well. But first, Alex has got a big board update.
The Iowa Hawkeyes moved to 19-8 on the season last night with an 85-76 win over 25th-ranked Ohio State. Luca Garza was great as usual with 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. But the story of the night, the contributions from the role players. Bakari Evelyn had 15 points and 3 assists off the bench. Ryan Kreener pitched in with 12 points and 4 boards. Cordell Pimsel and Joe Toussaint both added 9 points, with Pimsel hauling in 7 rebounds. The Hawkeyes are 10-6 in the Big Ten and are just a half game behind Penn State for second place in the conference. It was a tough night for the UNI basketball programs. The men couldn't overcome a slow start in Terre Haute as they fell to Indiana State 67-64. UNI came roaring back from a 17-point halftime deficit to have a chance to tie the game on their last possession, but an A.J. Green three-point shot would not go at the buzzer, and the Panthers suffered their fifth loss of the season. They're now tied atop the MVC standings with Loyola at 11-4 in league play. The number one seed in the conference tournament now looms large, with UNI's at-large chances likely done. The UNI women fell to Illinois State 69-61. The Redbirds pick up the season sweep over the UNI women, and the Panthers fall to 15-10 on the season. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders are on the road this weekend in Plymouth, Michigan for 2 games against the Team USA developmental team. 1 game tonight, 1 game tomorrow. Both will get underway at 6:05 p.m. Central Time. High school basketball tonight. We have a girls regional semifinal matchup at 6:45 on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 102.3 FM in Class 1A between Springville and Sigourney. And then on 106.3, a 2A matchup starting at 6:45 between West Branch and Wapello.
The Breslin Center's been a house of horrors for the Iowa basketball team for the better part of, 3 decades. Any reason to believe that won't be the case on Tuesday? We'll get into that and more with Rob when we return after this.
It's at the Home Show.
Planning for home and yard improvements in 2020? Get all the latest tips and trends from the experts at the 41st Annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builders Show, located at the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center in Cedar Rapids. This year's show features the best products and services for your home and garden. Stop by Friday, February 21st through Sunday, February 23rd to see the displays and attend informative how-to seminars. Plus, Papa Balloon will be making fun balloon creations for the kids.
At the Home Show!
The 41st Annual Cedar Rapids Home and Builder Show, February 21st through the 23rd in the Hawkeye Downs Expo Center. Show hours are 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, and noon to 5 p.m. Sunday. Admission is just $5, and children under 12 are free. Sponsored annually by the Greater Cedar Rapids Housing and Building Association.
Ideas to make your house a home.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money, like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care. like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at Wellmark.com.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option, Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great-paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
You get your sports fix on KGYM. Now, satisfy your need for smart rock on Smart FM. Just John gets you going in the morning from 6 until 10. Greg's with you middays and serves up hot and fresh smart rock on the Smart Rock Smorgasbord. And Rick's got all the best tunes for your drive home from 3 to 7. Smart FM also offers extracurricular activities on the weekends, like Live from the Soundboard and Where It's At. When you need smart rock, there's only one place to get it. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
534, we welcome you back in, and I don't know who needs to hear this particular public service announcement, but at lunch today, I wasn't paying any attention. I grabbed an energy drink that I didn't realize the particular flavor of it. Birthday cake bash does not go well with Chinese food. I just want to put that out there.
Look at you drinking the creatine energy drink.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's creatine.
You really
in that.
Should
Look at you.
Pay attention to what you're putting in your body. But I'm almost 40. I'm not going to start.
You started lifting on us.
And the only thing I've been lifting is 12-ounce curls. The old joke goes. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio KGYM. Also, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and the all-new Jim O.T., 107.5 FM here in Cedar Rapids, featuring Rob Howe's favorite former Des Moines radio personality, Matt Perrault, on Pushing the Odds from 12 to 3. Speaking of Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com in studio with us. Last night, Ohio State, big win for the Hawkeyes. You immediately have to look ahead to Tuesday in East Lansing against Michigan State. This isn't a killer Michigan State team, but that building, there is bad mojo there for Iowa basketball. There have been some really good Iowa basketball teams that have gone to East Lansing and come away with their tails between their legs. What's different this year? What could be different this year? We had Thomas Bendit on earlier. He said they don't have the same role players that the stars, Cassius Winston, they've got the starters. They don't have the bench that they normally do.
Yeah, McQuaid was big for them last year. Goins was big for them last year. They had and the guys that are filling those roles this year, Rocket Watts, Henry, guys like that are still pretty young, and they haven't taken – losing Langford was just huge for them. If they had
Colossal.
Him as a three-point – slashing guy on the wing that they usually have, a guy like that would have been big. But yeah, they definitely look mortal this year, particularly in East Lansing. I think Penn State and Maryland both won in East Lansing this year. Those are good teams. They're the top two teams in the league, but you have to feel better about Tuesday's chances than most years. Now they're saying that they'll probably go and lose by 20.
You remember the big, I'm not going to call it a controversy, but there was a discussion last year during the NCAA tournament when Tom Izzo absolutely berated a player on the bench.
And that was Henry,
wasn't
it?
That was Aaron Henry.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point I'm getting at. I don't think that he's necessarily developed the way that they hoped that he would. They wanted him to be this kind of big-time scoring wing, and he hasn't done that. And you, like you said, the Langford loss is huge. They just don't have, like you said, the outside shooting, the role players that they usually do, and the losses at home are just sort of staggering. A team that came in preseason number one, they're sitting here with, and I don't know what to do with them if I'm looking at a bracket, yeah. In the NCAA tournament right now. Could they make a run? Yeah, that's Michigan State. It's Tom Izzo.
I say never bet against him.
But I said that one year, and they lost.
In March.
They
in
lost
March.
In a 2-15 game to Middle Tennessee, and this is
I think
looks
we'll
kind of like one of those teams.
We'll get an idea here at the stretch, how they right. do down the stretch right. here. If they can pull it together and you know win some games down the stretch here, then maybe they build off of that. I think, and you guys know, you've watched Iowa all year, huge on Tuesday. Does C.J. Frederick come back into the lineup? Does that second consistent three-point shooter take some pressure off of Wieskamp on Tuesday?
You put it best last night on Twitter. The fact that he was a game-time decision seems to bode well. Now, he could be a game-time decision for the next 2 weeks. We don't know. But you use that language, and how quickly he came back from the January foot issue, you'd think, okay, maybe this kid just has a little bit better recovery time than some other athletes do. I don't know what to expect on Tuesday. I do know this. Izzo ain't starting Jack Hoiberg on Tuesday again. That was a neat moment last night. I don't know if you saw the clip of Fred Hoiberg.
It was kind of nice, but it was also a little bit condescending. Like, hey, it doesn't matter who we put out here. We're going to beat you.
Hoiberg. I was telling the story after the game last night that they always have a manager come in and give them the numbers of the starting lineup. And he's going, who the heck is 10? And it's his own kid. And, well, yeah, it was a little bit of a, we can start. They struggled early, and then they wound up putting Nebraska away down the stretch.
If either Jack Hoiberg or Steven Izzo are in this game at any point, things did not go well for the Iowa Hawkeyes. I will say that.
I keep going back 20 some years ago when they had my managing editor at the Daily Iowa and had the great idea that he thought they were going to be competitive against Michigan State. He sniffed a win, sent me all the way out there, and Iowa got run out of the gym.
Was that the one with Worley where it was like 21-2, like 5 minutes into the game? There was one I covered out there, and I don't know if they still do, but remember they used to sit you, the media, like right in front of the end zone.
Yes.
So it was just people screaming at the back of your head for 2 hours. And I remember that going out there and watching them. I think it was 21 or 23-2 at the beginning.
That
and
may have been like, the only the only thing I can remember about that was the day that Dale Earnhardt passed away.
Okay.
I was in East Lansing, Michigan when that happened, and we were in the media room, and that, and I couldn't get the story sent back. This is in the nascent days of dial-up connections in the internet, and so I had to use a phone and transcribe the story over the phone.
I've done that before.
I had our good friend Rick Brown, formerly the Des Moines Register, was now doing stuff for you at HawkeyeNation.com.
He is working for us.
Sitting to my right, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I've got the Register beat writer here. He's on deadline, and I'm bothering him by having to dictate the story, and I'll never forget. I finished up. I'm mortified, red-faced, and Rick just stops typing for a second. He goes, not bad. And then he went back to typing. So what that has to do with the price of tea in China or Tuesday in East Lansing, I have no idea. But 319-366-1600 if you want to use the First Federal Credit Union text line to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us for about 13-14 more minutes here before we part ways for another week. We mentioned Kevin Warren was in Iowa City earlier today. I know neither one of us was able to make it there, but former college teammate of Fran McCaffrey, the new commissioner of the Big Ten, he was a freshman when Fran was a senior. He said he's never learned more about basketball from anybody than he did from Fran McCaffrey. I thought that was kind of a neat quote today.
Yeah, and somebody asked Fran about, we had a press conference Wednesday leading up to the Ohio State game, and somebody had asked Fran about Kevin and what it was like, and Fran told a similar story that he knew, you know, that Kevin was, you know, his future was going to be bright based on that season and how much he wanted to learn. And Fran obviously was very happy and felt like the Big Ten did well in bringing him on. We'll see what happens. He's got big shoes.
And
to
hey,
fill.
But he's come out swinging.
When you're Fran McCaffrey, it's not bad to have a friend in the committee.
Exactly.
You know, if you're facing maybe a fine or something down the road. But you're right. He's come out with some pretty strong positions on a lot of things. The Big Ten's going to be the driving force behind some of the NCAA or some of the national legislation. And pretty interesting things he had to say today about some of the changes that are on the horizon for college basketball, college football, and the NCAA in general.
This name and likeness situation, it's going to change the game. It's going to change everything. And I'm not saying that it's not the right thing. They have to do more for the players, for the athlete. They just do. And however they figure, that's what's so huge right now. The NCAA, the conferences, the commissioners, they need to figure this out now. It needs to be done now.
And the legislation on one-time transfer is also going to be very interesting to see how this shakes out. Because
free agency, right?
Yes. And once again, something that needs to happen for the sake of the player. But I think a lot of people are wondering, when is this going to happen? A lot of people agree, all right, this is something that the players deserve, that athletes deserve. When is this going to be an NCAA-wide thing? And it seems like the Big Ten, once again, is getting out in front of all of these issues.
I thought the interesting quote that I saw, and I can't remember what the genesis was, but I think it was one of the group of five commissioners or ADs basically said, what we don't want to be is we don't want to become the G League for the Power Five teams where, okay, we develop a kid freshman, sophomore year, and they get to be really good, and all of a sudden they're an Ohio State Buckeye. And I think you run the risk of that happening, but for every climber like that, I think you're going to get more of the Luke Fords of the world where, you know, the Illinois tight end who was at Georgia Tech and wanted to transfer home, and the NCAA said, no, you're not eligible. You got to sit out this year. Now his grandfather has passed away, so he's not going to get to see him play for the Illini. Everybody gets one. What you do with it is up to you. Just know that after the one, I think you make it really, really, really difficult to leave and go someplace else. But Kevin Warren at the driving force there, and I agree with you. I think the name and likeness, there's obviously an opening there for high-profile programs with deep pockets to use that as an advantage. But I think where the real benefit could come, the other sports, you know, some of the Olympic sports, especially at Iowa,
yeah,
with wrestling. We mentioned Spencer Lee all the time.
Megan Gustafson.
Yeah. Non-football, non-men's basketball players that are still high-profile enough where they could maybe benefit a little bit while they're in college monetarily.
I think it's funny when people are trying to, now they're saying, they're trying to say, this is just going to open Pandora's box and there's going to be, you know, the underhanded, under the table stuff. And you know, that stuff is going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, actually, that's the opposite of what's going to happen because it's going to be legal. If it's legal, then it's not going to happen under the table.
But I feel like we've gone down this every single step of the way. Remember, there was a time and place not all that long ago when these kids couldn't have jobs.
Right.
And then
or
it
food.
Was. And then it was, well, they can have jobs. Oh, some booster is going to pay them a no-show job like it's Tony Soprano or something. The food. Oh, no. The haves are going to benefit here and the haves not. Well, look how much it's benefited these guys to be able to go grab a beef stick or a protein shake or a cotton candy energy drink, whatever. That birthday, my apologies.
I don't think Doyle's stocking that over at the football company.
You know what? I won't be stocking it again anytime. So I'm going to start reading the labels a lot closer when I'm at the checkout.
The text line guessed the brand of it,
right
away.
Yeah. I'm just glad we've got people listening. At this point, 319-366-16 or 3877 makes a really good point. In a state like Iowa, where there's no pro sports, you're going to benefit as well from having the ability to capitalize on your name and likeness. Imagine Luca Garza this year at the height of his popularity. there would be opportunities for him to perhaps make a little peacock money.
He is at the height of his marketability right now, right? I mean, will he make an NBA roster? We'll see. I think he has a chance. But right now, he is at the height of his marketability. The only problem is he can't profit off of it.
And you can say the same for Megan?
Yes.
Or Spencer Lee?
It was Nigel Hayes of Wisconsin who brought this whole thing up.
Yeah.
And it was the same. It's the same situation. A guy who was really good in college, a guy who in Madison is a local celebrity who would be able to make money off of his name and doesn't get that opportunity.
The other Kevin Warren thing from today, and I know Mark Morehouse wrote about this at the Gazette, but it sounds like he's really, really pushing for mental health awareness. And
I saw
we just discussed this with DJ Carton, who was not with Ohio State last night, but did return to school in Columbus. And Kevin Warren wants to make sure that they're taking care of student athletes. And that doesn't necessarily just mean their physical health and well-being, but their mental health and well-being as well. So I think the Big Ten's got a pretty solid new commissioner here, and he pointed out there's only five other guys. This conference has been around since, 1896, and he's the sixth guy to be there. I was fortunate enough to know Wayne Duke a little bit, and everybody's got at least one Jim Delaney story over the last 30 years. But I think Kevin Warren's going to be a guy who's not going anywhere anytime soon, and the Big Ten seems to be in good hands. And again, if you're Fran McCaffrey, probably pretty happy that you got a good relationship with it. You're happy that when you were a senior, you weren't hazing the freshman who's now in charge of the conference. It's a good thing that those guys got along.
No atomic wedgies.
Yeah.
In the locker room. I was really happy to see the mental health aspect, and we had that as a local story a few years ago, and we had Sean Welsh on this program as well, where Iowa was dealing. It's so prevalent, and it's nice that people aren't ignoring it anymore.
I think it's a lot more common than any of us probably acknowledge.
Right.
And something that I've always said here is it doesn't discriminate. You can be a world-class athlete or you can be a schlub nobody. It doesn't discriminate. And so the fact that the Big Ten's trying to be proactive about this, and what we've seen is the Big Ten, it sounds like something that a homer would say, but the Big Ten has a history of leading change in college athletics. And once the Big Ten speaks up on something, other conferences come along with it. And I can't see a single drawback here in saying, hey, we want to make sure that our athletes, our young men and women, are put in a position where they can succeed and their mental health is taken care of. So great stuff. There's a lot of great coverage out there across the multiple platforms. Again, I know Mark had the piece at the Gazette that I read earlier today, so check that out, and I'll look forward to seeing what Kevin Warren has in store for the Big Ten. We'll take a quick timeout here. We'll come back. We'll have just a few minutes to finish up. We'll get some of Rob's final thoughts on Iowa basketball and more on the way after this.
Hey guys, spring cleaning is just around the corner, so get ready at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, a heavy-duty interlocking shelving system is just $29.99, and a 2-in-1 24-inch push broom with squeegee is just $18.99.
Right, Hal, and you get a free 3-pack of Best roller covers when you buy any gallon of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Platinum Interior Paint, too.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-253-3660.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-253-3660. 1-800-253-3660.
I'm Joe Coy, stand-up comedian, and I'm here to toast my mother. Sam Adams is the best beer for this toast. It's grassroots, it's family. What I take from that is the same thing that I got from my mom. Mom, when you came to this country, it was to give the kids an opportunity that you knew that you would never have. Thank you for everything you sacrificed. So this is for you.
I'm so proud of you.
And I love you so much. Oh my God, bottoms up. Slow down, lady.
That's good.
Boston Beer Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Savor the flavor responsibly.
Nobody thinks twice about getting a second opinion on a doctor or a lawyer. But what about when you need somebody to work on your home, like an electrician, landscaper, or plumber? Somebody doing major work on your pipes definitely calls for a second opinion. So next time you get a recommendation on a pro, get a second opinion at Angie's List. As the authority on local pros, we offer thousands of reviews, plus business info, offers, and photos. Just go to AngiesList.com. Hey, you want to feel great about who you're hiring, and we second that opinion.
And we welcome you back in 5:53 as we enter the bottom of the ninth here for another work week. Local programming returning on Monday with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes at 3 o'clock here on KGYM. They'll have Cedar Rapids Gazette columnist Mike Halas along with them to wrap up the sports weekend. Plenty to look forward to next week. The Iowa men taking their talents on the road to East Lansing. Got about 2-3 minutes here, Rob, as we finish up. Four games remaining, two at home, two on the road. Are we looking at, if they bat 500 here over the final four games, 21 wins? I mean, that's it's nothing to bat an eyelash at, right?
That would be what, 21-10 and 12-8? Yeah, I mean, that's
sitting pretty.
Yeah, that gets you a nice sixth seed in the NCAA, yeah. I would say, and that's where you want to be. You don't want to be in that seven game. I think you get to that sixth line and you're in good shape.
At Michigan State, and then you've got Penn State and Purdue at home, and you close out at Illinois. So you're looking at two home wins and two road losses, most likely. Although this has been a screwy year. We've seen the road team start to have a little bit better success in the Big Ten. Breslin Center is such a tough place to play, and then State Farm Center in Champaign also not the easiest place to go to. I'll be interested to see that Penn State rematch, though. When those two teams went at it in the Palestra, that was a pretty good, scrappy basketball game between two teams that I think at the time we probably had no idea were going to be as good as they have been. Both of those teams right now looking like they aren't going to play till Friday at the Big Ten tournament, which is kind of hard to believe.
We've got this. The last four games are all pretty juicy. I mean, you've got the East Lansing angle. Then you've got Penn State, the rematch of the 150-degree Palestra. Then you've got Purdue
which waxed
Iowa.
Yeah.
And then the finale, the Illinois assistant coach going after Fran, the rematch in Champaign. That will be fun as well.
Hi, Odesumu back for Illinois. Right. This is going to be a fun end of the season. And how it shakes out, Iowa's going to have a lot to do with how this this final couple of weeks shakes out. But like you said, 2-2, probably a 6th seed. 3-1, maybe you're talking about a 4 or 5 seed in the NCAA tournament.
And this weekend's games, you got Michigan at Purdue, Penn State at Indiana, Rutgers at Wisconsin, Minnesota at Northwestern, and Maryland at Ohio State.
That's some pretty good basketball,
yeah.
And games that'll have an impact on the final standings as well. So we'll see Iowa wrestling in action this weekend as well. The Hawkeyes wrap up their home schedule against Oklahoma State. We mentioned William Hill has a line on that. Iowa -23.5 over the Cowboys.
Wow.
Don't know enough about wrestling.
Is that like standard? Are there normally lines on
wrestling? Came across it last.
Okay.
Don't ask how, don't ask why, but I came across it last night and I didn't listen Wednesday closely enough when Mark Ironside was on the gym class. Otherwise, maybe I'd have
go listen to the podcast.
We can listen to the podcast. We'll have ours there as well. Hey, don't forget, poll question available for you on the website as well. What's the result of tomorrow night's big fight, the Wilder-Fury second meeting? There will be a third meeting. They've already signed on for it. We give you five options. Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast is the sponsor for the poll question. Always great to have Rob in studio with us, and we'll look forward to seeing who we get lined up for another big hour next Friday. Again, thank you to Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. If you did miss anything, including Connor McCaffrey stopping by to talk hoops and baseball with us, Thomas Bendit of BT Powerhouse and SBNation.com at 4:30 today. Our podcast is available online at KGYMRadio.com. Plenty of high school basketball on the way for you this weekend, including tonight, and it's all on the way next.
Hey, this is Jay Farner. See.